The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us today as we continue with our topic of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, today, I believe, if everything goes well, we may be able to finish up this part of our study. Now, after we study the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we're going to move over into the spiritual gifts. And so that's going to be another study. But it's going to be tied to this one, so it's kind of a two-volume set here of Netcast. So we've had quite a few here on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and hopefully today we'll be able to tie up our examples of people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. We've been going through the book of Acts one chapter at a time and seeing how all that came together in the book of Acts. So I think it's going to be a great study today as we get into this. Now, a couple of announcements, of course. We've got some good things ahead on speakfaith.tv. I tell you, I'm excited about some of the developments. Can't talk about all of them just yet. We just got approval for a new ministry to join speakfaith.tv, but we're still working out a few things, okay? So we haven't quite cut over to it yet. But when we do, you're going to be really excited about it. The other announcement, I think we've already mentioned this last week, but I want to mention it again because some of you may not have heard it. We have Rick Renner's programs, his video programs, Refuel with Rick and Good News with Rick, available now on speakfaith.tv. Now you say, well, it's been there for a while, Dr. Bill. Yeah, but these are updated programs. His feed had kind of phased out because he'd moved to a different feed, and we're now having those programs on, and the Refuel with Rick programs are daily programs, and so they are updated daily. So I encourage you to go out. First of all, if you don't have a Roku device, get a Roku device. Amen. Hook that up. Subscribe to speakfaith.tv. You can go to the religion and spirituality section of the channel store, and you'll find us in there, or you can just go to the website, log into your Roku account, go to the website, type in speakfaith.tv in the search under channels, and you'll find us, be able to click the icon there and connect directly to having speakfaith.tv show up in your roster of channels. Now, you will have to update your Roku, and that's pretty simple, too. You can either unplug it and plug it back in. That's really simple. Or you can go to settings and do a system update. I'd encourage you to do the system update, okay? So go in your menu system, go over to the left-hand column. In that, you'll see settings. Go to settings, and then scroll through that list of options until you see system update. Do that system update, because chances are, if you haven't done a systems update in a long time, not only are your possibly your channels behind, but also your software revision level may be behind. That's hard to say. Anyway, go ahead and do that, and you'll get some new capabilities and new options and all kinds of things if you go ahead and do that. So I encourage you to do that. Go check out speakfaith.tv. Ooh, I tell you, good stuff we've got on there. I've been watching the shows on there, and there's some great things being taught here in this new year. And by the way, Happy New Year 2014. Here we are in 2014, and it's going to be a great year. I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, this is just a super time to be fulfilling the Word of God, doing what God's Word says we should be doing. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. As always, Word of Faith Radio, going and strong. I tell you, just all kinds of good things happening. New folks joining us there. There's just a lot happening. There's a lot going on. The other thing I want to mention, we've been talking about our project. Now, this is a faith project, and I mean that, folks. This is a faith project. There's no way this can happen except by faith and by the power of the Word of God in manifestation. All right? Praise the Lord. So, what's it all about? Well, we have the opportunity to acquire $25,000 worth of video equipment, high-definition, high-end professional video equipment. We can get that $25,000 worth of equipment for only $7,500. But I'll just be totally straight with you. I don't have the $7,500. It's not in the bank. So you say, well, Dr. Bill, how in the world are you going to be able to receive it then? By you helping us out, by faith and agreement together that we have that $7,500 to purchase this equipment. Now, here's the great thing about this. This is a Word of Faith church that has this equipment. They're getting out of their video ministry. When we pay them the $7,500 for the equipment, we'll get the equipment. That'll be a tremendous blessing. They will get the $7,500 to help their church out and get some equipment they do need, like an overhead projector and a few other things that they need to, you know, put the songs up on the wall. That their old projector is kind of dying and they need a new one. In other words, it's a blessing, blessing, blessing. It's one of those double win situations, praise the Lord. So, I would love for you to pray and ask God what He would have you do toward this project. And if He speaks to you to give in this project, then I encourage you to write us here, send your check to Word of Faith Ministries. Now, that is a 501c3, that's it, nonprofit corporation, church organization. It is totally nonprofit, therefore it is tax deductible. All gifts are tax deductible. That's the point I was trying to make. And so if you decide to contribute, either by just pure decision on your part, or the Lord speaks to you and says, give them X dollars, whatever, you just obey God, do what's on your heart to do. And you can send it to Word of Faith Ministries. Our address, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. Praise the Lord. So, encourage you to pray about that, meditate on that, and share with your friends. I mean, you know, you might say, hey, did you hear that Dr. Bill's got this project going? You know, praise the Lord. Why not? Send him an email. Hallelujah. You say, I've never heard of anything like this. Well, praise the Lord. There's always a first time for everything. Amen. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 19. Like I say, hopefully we'll conclude the baptism of the Holy Spirit part of the study today, and then we'll get into spiritual gifts in the next broadcast, next netcast. So Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now the term disciple means a disciplined believer. Okay, a disciplined believer. So what were they disciplined believers of? You could be a disciple of a lot of things. But he found certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now that statement right there will irritate a lot of folks that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in a second unique experience after being born again. Because they would think something like this. Well, if they've already believed, if they've already received Jesus Christ as the Lord, why would you need to receive the Holy Ghost? Didn't you already get the Holy Ghost when you were born again? Well, apparently, Paul here was talking about a different experience than being born again. Now, as I've said before, and I'll say again, being born again is the single most important thing that any human being needs to do. They need to get born again. God has extended by His grace salvation to the entire world, but the entire world's not going to be saved unless you individually receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Amen? That's a decision on your part. Because God doesn't push anything on anybody. He's a gentleman. Okay? He makes it available to everybody, but they have to receive it by faith. Amen? And then I'll tell you a neat little secret. According to Ephesians chapter 2, He gives you the faith as a gift so that you can receive the grace. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. You know, God says, okay, it requires you to operate in faith, but by the way, here's the faith. Amen. That's just like God. All right, let's keep going here. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not even heard so much as whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, you know what? I'm gonna tell a joke, and it's kind of a bad joke in a way. Not bad in some sense, but it's corny. Okay. I was raised Southern Baptist. All right. That's my background. And Southern Baptists, classically speaking, don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. Okay. But I'll tell you what's interesting about these folks here in Ephesus. If you do a little study, you'll find out that these disciples, who were disciples of John the Baptist, were in the southern part of that area. So they were Southern Baptists. So I can just imagine Paul coming up to the Southern Baptists saying, you received the Holy Ghost since you believe. They go, we've never even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. That's why I have to laugh about it, because as a Southern Baptist, that's kind of where we were. You know, oh yeah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we never really thought about what the Holy Spirit was all about. Okay, he's the third person of the Godhead, but we just don't know a whole lot about him. He is the third person of the Godhead, and he is God. But I tell you what, your encounter and experience with Jesus Christ, you are baptized into the body of Christ when you're born again. You're baptized into the Holy Ghost as a second unique experience with God, and you speak in other tongues. That's what we've been finding as we go through the book of Acts. Time and time again, they got born again, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay? Now here, it's undeniable. It's in the scripture plain as day, okay? There's no arguing with this. Look at it. He says, they say unto him, we haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, well, wait a minute. Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So they're disciples, all right, but they're disciples of John the Baptist. Now he preached repentance, and he preached that they should believe on the one that comes after him, and they knew that. They just hadn't heard any further. So now that Paul's placed them, he's identified where they are. He says, okay, wait a minute. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now remember what we found out about water baptism in Acts chapter 8? We found out that when Philip preached and then was instructed to go to the eunuch's chariot and join with his chariot, he preached to the eunuch, and the eunuch said, wait a minute, why can't we stop here and be baptized? And Philip said, you may be baptized if you believe with all your heart. In other words, he tested whether or not he was born again before water baptism. Now, I'm sure, like I said, I was raised Southern Baptist. Every Southern Baptist will agree with me. Oh, you don't get baptized in water until after you've been born again. That's correct. That's 100% true. That's according to the scripture. So now, here's the thing. If the disciples, meaning also the apostles like Paul here, tested or checked up on whether or not they were born again before they were baptized, then it stands to reason that he did the same thing here. We don't have it recorded, but I believe that he checked and made sure they were born again. Okay? Now, let's keep reading. He said unto them, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they obviously got born again. They believed Jesus Christ was Lord. They believed God raised him from the dead. They believed what Paul was preaching to them. And he baptized them in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Did he then pat him on the back and say, okay, boys, you can move along now. Everything's fine. No, he didn't stop there, did he? What's the next verse? And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and what happened? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Woo, here it is. Right out of the Bible. I'm reading out of Acts chapter 19. You can follow along with me. Paul preached to them. He got them born again. He baptized them in water. And then he laid hands on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. That you can't get around that. That is the biblical progression, if you want to call it a progression. It's the biblical progression of what should happen. You hear the gospel preached. You believe what was preached. You believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You receive him as Lord. You're born again at that point, according to Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Then you get baptized in water. Okay, according to this progression here in Scripture. And then it says Paul laid hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. Now, I'm not going to quibble over this point. You can get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues and then get water baptized. That's okay, you know. Now, I'm not going to quibble on that. Don't say, "Well, Dr. Bill said it had to be this way." No. I'm just saying there is here listed in Acts chapter 19 a progression of events, of occurrences, okay? And it is obvious, and this is the point that I'm trying to make here, this is the key that I want to get across, it is obvious that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a second unique experience with God, okay? You get born again. Being born again means you're baptized into the body of Christ. And this is just a tidbit. This is something to chew on, okay? Okay, I'm going to say something here. You write it down or you meditate on it, but I want you to chew on it a bit. When you are born again, the Holy Ghost draws you to receive the Word of God. He then, when you receive the Word of God and are born again, he then, the Holy Ghost, baptizes you into the body of Christ. Then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, according to the Word of God, is the baptizer into the element, if you will, of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus baptizes you into the Holy Ghost. So in the first case, when you're born again, the Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body of Christ. And then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Jesus, who's now your Lord, baptizes you into the Holy Ghost. All right? I know some of you scratching your head going, I'm not sure if I got that. That's why I say, you just meditate on it, all right? You just think about it, meditate on it, turn it around in your mind, murmur it. That's what meditation is to murmur, to speak. So just, you know, just repeat that a few times, think about it, meditate on it, it'll come to you. All right? Praise the Lord. Now, why is all that important? The main thing I wanted to show you here is that it is a unique, separate experience. Okay, now as a Southern Baptist, that was a great revelation to me, that there was a further experience with God. And I'll tell you this. I had a friend of mine, Brother Ted Potts, down in Denton, North Carolina. Precious brother in the Lord. Oh, I tell you, Brother Ted, he got a hold of the Word of God. He just grabbed a hold of it like a bulldog. He ran with it, praise the Lord. And I appreciate Brother Ted. But one of the things that was an issue with him, first of all, he just was under such personal condemnation, he just wasn't sure he was born again, all right? And it took a while of him hearing the Word of God concerning, you know, the love of God and the grace of God and the faith of God, and he finally settled in himself that he was born again. But then when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, November the 10th, 1973... I sound like Brother Hagin here, you know, giving you dates. November the 10th, 1973, I was at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I went into that convention completely ignorant. I had no idea what the Holy Ghost was about. I was a good Southern Baptist, you know what I'm saying? But I went with a friend of mine who had a friend that took us both to this Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. I had never heard of the Full Gospel Businessmen before this meeting. Okay, so I go in there and George Otis is teaching. George Otis was a scientist who was with NASA that worked on the NASA moon program, as a matter of fact. And he also was a Christian who had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they had him in as a speaker, you know, well-known person. And so he comes in, he's teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just sitting there watching, listening to him and thinking, I've never heard anything like this. And yet he was taking us through the scriptures, the very scriptures we've been looking at in these last few episodes of the Netcast. And I saw all these scriptures and I said, wow, it's in the Bible. And when I saw Acts 19, I was like, well, there you go. I mean, it says they got born again, they got baptized, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues. And then he said, George Otis said, now those of you that want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there were so many people there, we couldn't go down to the front. He just said, stand up where you are. So I stood up and he prayed. And I'm telling you, power hit me right from the top of the head and shot all the way down. I felt the power of God. Now, I had been born again back in April of 1969, prior to this November the 10th, 1973, obviously. I was born again, no question about it. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord. I publicly confessed him in a First Baptist church in Denton, North Carolina, and they welcomed me into the fellowship, praise the Lord, and I got baptized in water. But then here I am at this meeting on November the 10th, 1973, praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with this whole crowd, and I get zapped. I mean, pow! The power of God hit me. And I shook. If I'd have known what to do, I'd have just fallen over. But I was determined. I just stood there, just being hit by this power. And then before I know it, I'm speaking in other tongues. Woo, hallelujah. Southern Baptist boy speaking in other tongues. Well, needless to say, I was excited. I knew that it was a second experience because I had already been born again. I took the study notes that they gave me. This one brother, who is a friend of my friend Matt, he gave me this sheet of study notes. Matter of fact, I've actually got that sheet of study notes right here. It's a little bit yellowed. But anyway, I took that sheet of study notes and I went over it with a fine-tooth comb and I read all those scriptures and I meditated on it. And then I had the opportunity to preach it in my First Baptist church in Denton, North Carolina. And I've told you that story, what happened there. I ended up getting the left foot of fellowship among the Baptists, just like Brother Hagin did. Praise the Lord. And then went out and started preaching the uncompromising word of faith message. Well, actually, to start with, I was preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit charismatic message. But then a few years later, I got a hold of the word of faith from Brother Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and Charles Capps. And whoo, hallelujah. Been preaching it strong ever since. Amen. So anyway, say all that to say this. It is definitely a second unique experience. I know from personal experience, I know from the Word of God that we just read, and now you know it as well. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to meditate on these scriptures. We've looked at five unique sections of scripture in the book of Acts. And just to give you, some background on that or some additional study on that, let me give you those scriptures. Here we go. Five cases in the book of Acts where they spoke in tongues when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:4, it says so right in the scripture. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They spoke in other tongues. Acts 2:4. Acts 8:14 through 40 is the second incident, and that is illustrated by the Greek. The Greek there says, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. And the Greek says, in this matter of utterance. Okay, so it's talking about that Simon the sorcerer there when he heard or saw that by the laying on of the apostles' hands, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He wanted that ability, and he said, I'll pay you for it. And Peter said, your money perish with thee. You have neither part nor lot in this matter of utterance. That's what the Greek says. So he heard, Simon heard them speak in tongues when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's why Peter said, you have neither part nor lot in this matter of utterance. Okay, Acts 9, 10 through 20. This is where Paul received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when Ananias laid his hands on him. And we are told in 1 Corinthians 14, 18 that Paul said, I speak in tongues more than ye all. So, again, very obvious that Paul spoke in other tongues as well when he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10, 32 through 48, it says right there plainly in the scripture that just as they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and on Acts chapter 2, in the same manner, the Greek says, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Gentile Pentecost, as we called it. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They spoke in other tongues. And that's how the disciples and apostles and Christians that were there with Paul, when the Gentiles did receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's how they knew they'd received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because they heard them speak in other tongues. That ought to tell you something right there as well, right? All right, and then finally, Acts 19, 1 through 7, where we just read, it plainly says that they received Jesus Christ as Lord. They believed God raised him from the dead. They were born again. They were baptized. And then they, after Paul laid hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. So there's five cases, five incidents from the scripture. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that let everything be done. In other words, let everything be proved out by one or two witnesses. Amen? Well, we got five. Five witnesses from the scripture. So we've proved it out. This is scriptural. It's 100% correct. You say, I don't know, Dr. Bell. It's not the way my church teaches it. Well, your church needs to read these five scriptures and explain them to you, because we just went over them plainly. And don't let them give you a whole rigmarole about, oh, that gift passed away when the last apostle died. We're going to show you next time, when we start talking about the spiritual gifts, how that cannot be the case. We're going to see what the Word of God has to say about it. And that's the important thing. What does God's Word have to say about it? Not what your church teaches, not what your favorite preacher teaches. What does the Bible say? Amen? All right, well, we're out of time. We're going to have to go. Join us again next time. Before then, though, please go ahead and consider this project that we have underway. If you'd like to write us, you can write us at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. And, of course, you can also write me here at my email address. My email address, as always, is Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org, as it says there on the screen. You can write us that address, and I encourage you to do that. I trust this study has been a tremendous blessing to you. Stay with us, because we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts starting on the next netcast. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.